Welcome to New Season Ministry with Evangelist Jeremy Cook. We hope today's message will challenge, encourage, and uplift you in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the message.
Revelation chapter 22. I want to read one verse of scripture to you tonight. Revelation chapter 22. So let's go to the last book of the Bible and let's go to the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. I want to share with you a verse of scripture, just one verse of scripture tonight, as a springboard, as what I want to talk to you tonight about, and then go from there tonight, if the Lord will help me. Revelation chapter 22. Let's read verse number 12. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 12. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a Bible like I do, these words will be written and read because this is Jesus speaking. These are some of the last words that is attributed to Jesus and all of the Word of God. We know if you have those red letter edition of Bibles, that those words that are marked in red, those are the words that they believe that Jesus Christ Himself spoke. And so this is the these are some of the last few words that our Lord and Savior recorded in all of the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, He would say, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Again, He would say, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." So tonight, I want to talk to you about what I feel like the Lord has been dealing with me on for the last several weeks. And I've been writing stuff down. And I want to talk to you on this thought tonight. How close is the Lord's return? How close is the Lord's return? Heavenly Father, I come before You tonight, Lord God. I'm asking You, Lord, right now that You would anoint my lips, Lord God, anoint the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Father, whatever seeks to give You the praise and the glory and the honor for it all, in Jesus' name we pray. And the church says amen, amen. And amen. Amen. I want to make a couple of statements to you tonight before we get started, just so that we kind of understand one another. You know where I stand on certain things. And I want to tell you, I want to make a couple of statements. The first statement that I want to make to you tonight is this. I am a rapture believer. Yes. All right? I am a rapture believer. I'll even go a step further and let you know that I am a pre-tribulation rapture believer. I believe that before we enter into 7 years of great tribulation, before this earth enters into 7 years of tribulation, I believe that a trumpet is going to sound. And I believe that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, and comfort one another with these words, is what Paul the Apostle would say. And so I am a rapture believer. Number two, this is what I believe. I believe that if Jesus came the first time, and we know that He did. As a matter of fact, we just celebrated the season of His first coming, when He would come into this earth as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and He was laid in a manger. He was born in a manger, but He was raised on a cross. And so, but He came the first time to give His life a ransom for His life a ransom for many. And we know that when He ascended up into heaven, that there was a prophecy given. He would give a prophecy, and John chapter 14, when He would say, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be
also. And so, not only do I believe in a rapture, but I believe in the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that if every prophecy foretelling of his first coming has been fulfilled, and he came and he walked this earth, he lived and he died and he rose again, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and right now he is ever living to make intercession for you and I right now, I truly believe that if every prophecy that spoke of his first coming and it has been fulfilled, I believe that every prophecy that speaks of his second coming, that Jesus Christ is going to come back again. Can somebody say amen? As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28 would say that unto him that look for him will he appear unto them the second time without sin unto salvation. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11 would talk when he would lead his disciples out to the Mount of Olives, and he would begin to talk to them pertaining things concerning the kingdom of God. And while he was speaking, he was taken up from them, and those disciples were looking up into the sky, and they were seeing their Lord and Savior being taken away. The Bible says, behold, there were two men in white apparel that were standing there, and they gave the disciples these words: ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? For the same Jesus that has been taken from you is going to come again in like manner, just like he was taken from you. And Paul would write in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, he would write and he would say, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. What does that tell the church of the living God today? That tells the church of the living God that if he came the first time, then he's going to come the second time. And I'm not looking for a lot of things to happen in this earth, but the one thing that I am looking forward to is I'm looking forward to the fact that Jesus Christ himself is getting ready to come back, because I still believe in the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that he's getting ready to come back just like he said. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And one of the things about his return, one of the things that we know about his return, one of the things that we understand as we look in scripture concerning his return, and I'm going to do some teaching here in this message tonight, is that he is going to be revealed to this earth. As a matter of fact, when we read the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation actually means the unveiling. It is not something that is going to be concealed. As a matter of fact, Jesus, when he returns, is going to reveal himself to all of mankind. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible would say, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye is going to see him. Can I tell you, we are at the verge. We are at the prefaces. We are at the very edge of God revealing himself, the Son of God revealing himself to all of mankind. He is getting ready, and when he takes the cover off of everything, and when he begins to reveal exactly who he is, I want to tell you, there's going to be no doubt who Jesus is that we serve. He's just not going to reveal himself to the church, but the Bible says that every eye is going to see him. And so how will this unfold? How is this going to unfold? It happens in a few stages, and we're not going to do an in-depth teaching in this, but we find out first that there is what we call the rapture of the church. That is where the church is taken away. Paul would write and he would say, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. And he would say, comfort one another with these words. So let me stop right there. Let me dig into that just for a minute. Because we as the church are supposed to comfort one another about with the words of the coming of the Lord. Paul would write these words to the church because many in the church were under the false narrative that Christ had already come, that they had been left behind. And he would say, do not be deceived, neither by word nor by letter. He says, don't be confused that the resurrection has already taken place. Because the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. When he comes back, there's going to be a noise. There's going to be a sound when Jesus comes back. And he says, Christ has not come back again. But what you need to do is you need to comfort one another with the words that he is coming back. Can I tell you, there's not a lot of things that bring my heart comfort. There's not a lot of things that bring my heart joy. But the one thing that brings my heart comfort and peace and joy is the fact that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back again. And if we don't comfort each other with any other words, the church ought to comfort each other with the fact that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back again. Amen. Then after the rapture of the church, this world will enter into a 7-year tribulation, such as the world has never seen. It is called the 70th week of Jacob's trouble. I wish I had time tonight to get into all of that, but I don't have time in this message and in this teaching to do that. But it's the 7-year tribulation. In that we see the rise of the Antichrist. We see a rise of a one world government. We see tribulation poured out on mankind such as the world has never seen. It is actually entitled the wrath of the Lamb. Because this judgment that is being poured out, it is actually the wrath of Almighty God that is being poured out. Can I tell you, you do not want to be here. I've heard people say, you know what? Well, I'll just get saved during the tribulation and what have you. And I want to tell you, that's going to be a very hard thing to do. Because when the 7-year tribulation is all said and done and 3/4 of the world's population is laying dead, when the seas are turned into blood, and you can't store up water either, because even the water in the jugs are going to turn to blood, and vegetation is going to die. We think we have it bad right now. We're hollering about inflation right now. I want to tell you, you haven't seen inflation until then. Right. Amen? And then the Antichrist comes out on the scene. And he's performing signs and wonders. He's performing miracles. Come on, somebody. Yes. I don't have time to get into all of that. But what I truly believe, if I understand Scripture, what the Antichrist will attempt to do is he'll attempt to replicate everything that Jesus did in his ministry. And then we see things like the mark of the beast. And I don't have time to get into all of that. But at the end of the 7-year tribulation, Christ will come back to this earth. At the end of 7-year tribulation, Christ will physically come back to this earth. And he will set up his millennial kingdom. Because Zechariah chapter 14 verses 4 and 5, the writer will write and he will say, for God will stand upon the Mount of Olives and it'll cleave in half toward the north and the south, and a valley will open up towards the east and the west, and God himself is going to walk through that valley. He's going to walk the Jezreel Valley, and he's going to walk into Jerusalem. He's going to walk into the temple where the Antichrist has set up his throne, and he's going to knock the Antichrist off of his throne, and he's going to set in that temple, and he's going to be the King of Kings, and he's going to be the Lord of Lords, and an angel is going to come down, and he's going to bind up Satan, and he's going to throw him in the bottomless pit, and then for 1,000 years, we will have a year of 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. We call it the millennial reign. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. Now here's the thing. Here's the reason for our message, because the title of my message tonight is How Close Are We to the Coming of the Lord? Because I was talking to Pastor just before service, and I'm going to get into this a little bit deeper in just a few moments. But I was talking to him and I said, you know, growing up, we used to hear messages on the coming of the Lord. We used to hear messages that Jesus Christ is going to come. Growing up, when I was a kid in church, just about every message, at some point in the message, the preacher, the evangelist, the pastor was sure to point out at some point in that message, you've got to be ready because Jesus is getting ready to come back. But somewhere along the way, we've kind of lost sight of that.
Yes, we have.
We don't preach messages on the coming of the Lord anymore. And there may be a few reasons why that is that I'll get into it here in just a minute. But there are a few things that I want us to understand. Number one is that Jesus is coming back. That fact has not changed. But here are a couple of things that I want us to understand. Number one is this, is that we don't know the exact time of His return. Jesus would speak in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. He said, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." He would also say in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, as he ends with talking about the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, he would say in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, he would say, "Watch therefore, because you don't know when the Master comes." And in Mark chapter 13, he would go on again and say, "Watch ye therefore, because you don't know at what point He is coming back." Even the disciples didn't understand all of that, because in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, as He was talking to them concerning things pertaining to the kingdom, because here was what the disciples didn't understand, and the disciples still had trouble with this. Because they thought that when Jesus came into this earth in human flesh, they thought that He was coming to establish a political kingdom. Insomuch that His disciples looked at Jesus and said, "Will you at this time restore the nation of Israel?" And Jesus would say, "It is not for you to know the time God has placed in it." So what He is saying is that all of that is in God's hands. And so He tells His disciples on 3 separate occasions, be watchful and be ready. Watch and be ready. Oh, I got to say it again. Watch and be ready. Because you do not know when the Master is coming. And be not deceived. He is coming. Be not deceived. He is coming. While we may not know the exact time, we do have signs that tell us of the season that He is coming back. We can look all around us and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, He is coming. He is getting ready to come. Jesus Christ is getting ready to return. But here was the second thing. And I want to get into this kind of deep, if we can tonight, for just a few moments, because this really troubled me, and I was sharing this with Pastor before service. The trouble is that few believe He is coming soon.
Yeah.
Listen to this. There is an epidemic that is plaguing the American church right now,
And it's not COVID-19.
Come on.
According to a recent Pew Research poll.
No. Pew Research. These are the people that go into the churches. And they take those unanimous polls to see what is actually going on in the churches in America today. Pew Research and Barna does these sorts of studies. And what they found was kind of alarming, because in the American church right now, 41%, only 41% of American evangelical Christians really believe that Jesus Christ could come back today. So that tells me that 59% of evangelical Christians, and that encompasses, we're not talking about Catholics, but we're talking about the Protestant evangelical. That includes Pentecostals, that includes Baptists, that includes Methodists, that includes Lutherans, all of those Presbyterian, Nazarene, all of those different groups. And so 59% do not believe that Jesus Christ could come back today in America. Now here's the interesting thing. You leave America, and 75% of the rest of the evangelical nations of this world, 75% believe that today he could come back. So that begs the question, why does the American church not believe that Jesus can come back today?
Come on.
Why is it that over half of the American evangelical church, we believe that Jesus will come back one day, we just don't believe it'll be today? When even in the book of Acts, and when you study early church history, when they would greet one another, they would say, "Maranatha," which meant, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." But now, the American church doesn't believe that Christ could come back today. Why is that? Why is it that a doctrine that is so established in the Word of God, such as the imminent return of Jesus Christ, could be a doctrine that is neglected by the American church? Because I'm gonna try not to meddle too much here, Pastor.
Come on.
But when you turn on TBN and you turn on those preachers, how often are they preaching about the imminent return of the Lord?
Right.
And how often are they preaching about your wallet?
Right. Right.
How often are they preaching about the return of the Lord? And how often are they preaching about, you know what, God just wants to bless you.
Yeah.
And everybody just got to love one another, and we're not judging one another. And we just want to make you feel good. We just want to make you feel, God's got a great plan for your life. God's got a great destiny for your life. Can I just stop right here and can I just poke holes in that? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your destiny's hell.
Amen. Good phrase.
If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your destiny is hell.
Yes.
And listen to this. It's nothing different, because the Bible prophesied of this. Jesus would speak in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 48, and he would say that there are those that will say, "My Lord delays his coming." Peter would write in 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 3 and 4, he said, "In the last days there'll come scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, things continued as they always did."
And this is what Peter said about them. Peter said that they've heard it, but they become willfully ignorant concerning the word. It is one thing when you simply just don't know the word. But it's another thing when you know the word and you hear the word, but you become willfully ignorant concerning the word and say, no, that doesn't apply. That part right there doesn't apply to me. But he says there'll be scoffers in the last days walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, things have continued like they were. And Peter would say they're willfully ignorant because there's one thing that they need to understand, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. And God's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's actually long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me stop right here and let me just say this, that the reason why Jesus Christ hasn't come back right now is because that he is long-suffering, because he's hoping that just one more will answer the call of salvation. Because the ark of the door of the ark of mercy is still open, and he's still calling whosoever will to come drink of the water of life freely. But there is coming a day where that ark of safety is going to be closed, and there's going to be no more admittance. And I want to tell you, he's long-suffering right now. Because if we truly believe that by the time I snap my fingers, Jesus Christ could come back, then everything that we do, everything that we say, every word that we speak, every decision that we make, with that belief, would be run through every vein of our life. John Bevere said it like this. It's a simple statement. He says, you live with eternity in mind. But can I just say this? The American church does not live with eternity in mind. The church lives with today's blessings in mind.
Yes, right.
We want everything heaped on us today. And so, but none of that, but if we truly believe that Jesus Christ could come back today, let me just say this. It would change the way you live. It would change the way you speak. It would change the way that unforgiveness that you have in your heart, you would get rid of it. The bitterness that's in people's hearts, they get rid of it. Oh, I'm preaching. If we really believe that Jesus Christ could come back at any moment, it would change every aspect of our life. We would live a life in such a way that if he was to come. Now I know people say, listen, you ought to live like he's coming today and plan like it's got to be 100 years from now. Can I just live like he's coming today? It's not to say that I don't believe in planning and all of those things, even though that Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow.
Yeah,
right. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Because sufficient is today. Today is the evil thereof. What we're worried about tomorrow we may not even get there.
Right.
But what if we lived with the fact that Jesus could come back today? Would it make you walk across the street to your neighbor that you know is lost and dying and on their way to hell? And would it make you stand in front of them with tears streaming down your face, say, I need to tell you about Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to come back. Oh, I know we don't like this type of preaching. Because this convicts me.
Yeah.
That if we truly believe that he's coming back,
Paul would write in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, and he's saying, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. How close are we to the coming of the Lord? Because this brings me to my third point here, and I'm getting ready to wrap this up. Number three, nothing today prevents the Lord's return. I'm not a prophecy preacher. I don't claim to be a prophecy preacher. You'll never hear me get up and preach blood moons and all of those different types of things. I'm not any good at that. I'll leave those to the people who are a whole lot smarter than me. You'll never hear me get up. I can't preach. I know nothing about, you know, I don't know anything about a third temple that needs to be built and red heifers and all. I don't know anything about that. I'm just being honest with you. But I know what the book says. And I believe that nothing has to happen before Jesus Christ comes. Nothing else has to happen before the rapture of the church takes place. And I understand that people are still looking for signs. Can I give you the sign that was given?
Come on.
Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one mind and one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And those men didn't understand what was going on. Some even began to mock. But Peter would stand up under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he would say, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will dream dreams. Old men will see visions. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, and those days I will pour out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. You want a sign that we are in the last days? I'll give you a sign that we are living in the last days. It happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was poured out upon all flesh. And if that marked the beginning of the last days, how much closer are we to the coming of the Lord? We are no longer in the last days. I believe that we are in the last moments, and I believe, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So right before his coming, how is it going to look? Well, this is what Jesus said. Jesus would say, as it was in the days of Noah, so is it going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? The Bible would say that they were eating, drinking, they were married and given in marriage. They were living a carefree lifestyle. Sin was rampant. Everybody did. Wickedness was increasing on a daily basis. Can you imagine what it was like during those days when only 8 were saved, went into the ark? And Jesus says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Lot, so is it going to be in the last days. What we are seeing right now, I'm telling you, we were watching Hulu last night. And they do the commercials at different times when you're trying to watch something on one of those streaming services. And we can't even watch commercials. I can't even watch commercials without them promoting homosexuality.
Exactly, yes.
And all of the other ungodliness that's out there. But Jesus said in the last days, that's how it was going to be. Paul would write and he would say, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. For men will be boasters.
Yes.
They'll be proud. They'll be heady. They'll be high-minded.
Yes.
They'll be lovers of pleasure. They'll be unthankful.
Yes.
They'll be lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God.
Right.
We'll love the pleasure more than we love the things of God. He says, don't even have a form of godliness. Think about that. That's a sign of the last days. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll have no power. And he says, from those type of people, you turn away. You don't have any association with them. We are living in the last of the last days,
yes.
I believe. It is interesting that they say, I'm going to try to wrap this up in about 5 minutes here. They say that last words are important. That whatever somebody says on their deathbed are the last words that are recorded, that those are some of the most important words that they'll ever say, because at that moment you find out what is in their heart. What their heart is turned toward to. I've been by the deathbed of so many precious saints, knowing that they're getting ready to cross over.
Yeah.
And before they departed, they wouldn't be able, a lot of times they wouldn't be able to talk or to say anything. But right before they were getting ready to cross over, all of a sudden they would just start singing praises.
Yeah.
To the Lord. Last words are important. And in Scripture, the last words of Jesus, when we look at what Jesus could have ended Scripture by saying, he ended it by three times in Revelation chapter 22. Three times. Closing out not only the book of Revelation, but the Bible. Saying, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. And I hear that same echo today. When I look at everything that is going on in this world right now. Can I just be honest with you? I'm not looking. I'm not, and please understand what I'm saying here. I'm not looking for a political Messiah.
Right.
Can I just even take it a step further? I'm not looking for America to be saved. I'm looking for Jesus to come back. Because when Jesus comes back, all of this is going to be done away with. Mm-hmm. See, we think when Jesus comes back, he's going to restore democracy to everybody. He's not. God's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's holy.
He's holy.
And he's just. And his government is a theocracy. He ain't taking a vote when he comes back to this earth.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. I don't have time to preach it. But during the millennial reign, people will get fed up with his rule. Did you know that? During the millennial kingdom, they'll actually get fed up with his rule. Because of how he rules with a rod of iron. And that's the reason that when Satan is loosed for a season, Satan will go out and deceive the nations one more time to go and to fight against the Lamb. And at that time, it's not much of a fight at all.
Right.
He just consumes them all.
and cast him into the, and cast the devil into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet and all of that, and all of that is, and those whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe that the next great event on God's calendar, it's not an election. It's not a cosmic sign in the heavens. I don't believe that it's anything else but a trumpet that is getting ready to sound. And the church needs to be ready. The church has got to be ready. How close are we to the Lord's return? We are closer now than we've ever been. If they were preaching on it 30 years ago, when it seemed like that every other message that we were preaching was about the coming of the Lord, how much closer are we today that He is getting ready to come back? And listen, I know that there was a lot of abuse. We would write books trying to talk about when God was coming back. But I still believe that He's coming back, that His return is closer than it's ever been.
Yes, absolutely.
And so what are we to do with this tonight? Well, the fact that He is getting ready to return, it ought to challenge us for the harvest. The Lord spoke to me about 3 weeks ago while I was praying. And I believe that the Lord spoke to me and said, time is of the essence. And I believe that the timer on God's prophetic clock is ticking down. I don't know how much longer that we have. But until He comes, I've resolved within myself that I'm going to be about kingdom business.
That's it right there.
So that when He comes, I can stand before Him and He'll say, well done.
Right.
Thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Stand with me all over.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Evangelist Jeremy Cook. If you would like more information regarding New Season Ministry, to schedule Jeremy to minister at your event, or to support the ministry with a love gift, please contact us at 859-404-4007. Or you may email him at PastorJeremyCook@gmail.com. God bless, and we will see you next time on New Season Ministry.